Hello and welcome to a new podcast venture that we're starting that is yet to be named. I'm here with Keaton DeRocher and Mark Zeki, and we're just going to talk about topics, anything that's going on in life, pop culture, news. I don't even know what else matters in life besides sports and pop culture, but whatever we feel like we want to talk about. So this episode, the very first episode, we happened to find out that we're all fans of the show Westworld on HBO, so we thought 3 episodes in, we would touch base on what's going on and what we think our theories are. So, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing
Doing
good.
great.
Doing very good.
How have you guys been excited for the season so far before we get too far into it?
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I don't know, maybe because, in my opinion, last season was so good. I don't know, maybe it's the Anthony Hopkins factor. I'm missing that, but as each episode goes on, I'm getting more and more into it. Yeah, it's, still an amazing show.
I completely get that. Ford first season was my favorite character, and I was the first season was absolutely wild. And the obviously, I hope this isn't a spoiler, but the fact that Ford died in the last episode was a huge bummer. So I totally get the kind of the slow build here without him in season two.
I'm just gonna, first of all, catch us up on everything that's happened so far this season, and then we are gonna shoot out some theories. I'm just gonna go over character by character, kind of what's going on. Season starts with Dolores talking to Arnold. It seems like she's almost trying to wake him up in a conversation they're having that's reminiscent of years past. And through the season, we see Dolores build an army that she's planning to, as she puts it, take over their world. We see characters like Maeve, who also might be more conscious, but her path is a little different. She's forming a much smaller army to rescue her daughter, and then we're not sure exactly. We see Bernard wake up on the beach, and he is helping to track down Peter Abernathy. He's also in multiple timelines within the last couple weeks where he's trying to survive with Charlotte, trying to find Abernathy, and then just trying to control the park. Teddy's just doing his thing, following around Dolores for the most part. Ed Harris is on his quest out the door instead of into the maze. We see Angela have a lot more bigger role this year. She's with Dolores most of the time, but we also see her almost to the sales pitch to Logan way back, must have been 30 years ago. Clementine's kind of a zombie, and Charlotte's just kind of trying to save herself and save Abernathy. Did I miss anything in the super overall where we are in the season so far?
No, I think you pretty much got all the
Yeah, I
main
think you got it.
characters. Yeah.
And I guess the other thing that I think was really important that I didn't mention was we do see at least one world. We see what they call the Raj. At the very beginning of this last episode, in the beginning of the season, we saw a Bengal tiger washed up on the beach. And then the end of this last season, they kind of tied it together. And we also saw a samurai that's either in Samurai World or they said it was the Klondike Narrative. I'm not sure which park they're talking about. Were you guys sure of which park they were in at the time?
No, I that kind of threw me. I didn't know if maybe they crossed over or something like that. I mean, I guess we'll find out next week, but I was definitely when they found the head, I knew something was coming, but I as far as when they crossed over, I don't know, maybe I missed it, but I think they're definitely in the was it Shogun World?
Yep.
Yeah, I think they're definitely in that park, so the quest for the daughter, she's getting closer.
I think the thing that I'm most interested about in the show in general is kind of the outside world slash where how they got to this point. So in the second episode, we saw the sales pitch to Logan. We saw just stuff in the past going on, whether it's William with his father-in-law at the park, Arnold showing Dolores where they're building his house, stuff like that. This season really started to tie the world together in general. And I think that's the aspect that I'm really enjoying the most. It's kind of helping you put the mysteries together.
Yeah, and it's kind of reminiscent of kind of what's obviously, a lot more complex, but it's kind of reminiscent of like kind of what's going on now with as far as people's privacy and selling that, for advertisements and stuff like that. Like with Facebook, I found that to be kind of eerie, like how kind of it mirrors. It's maybe where we'll end up one day. It's that kind of was like, wow, like this is current events.
They couldn't have timed it better with the Facebook stuff going on the same week that the episode comes out, where they're like basically implying that they're taking people's DNA and stuff. Like, nailed it.
Yeah, and I mean, this show was written like a year ago, so I mean, I don't know if they knew it was coming or just they could see the path, but they nailed it. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. I don't know if it's theory or more of just kind of just posing a question, but we've assumed that this entire time, Charlotte and everybody has been trying to get their IP out of the park. and basically kind of protecting the information of like how to build the host and all that. But do you think it's all of the user data is uploaded into Abernathy and that's what they're trying to get out instead? And they don't care so much about the IP of the hosts as much as the user data from the guests of the park?
Oh, totally. I think that they have people's DNA and stuff to almost, or not even almost, to make clone hosts of these people where either they can, there's two things that I think could happen. They could either be putting these hosts out in the real world when these people die and without the guests knowing this is going to happen to them, or it's rich people that want to live forever that are giving their consciousness to Westworld to make them eternal. So it's either by the guests knowing or not. I think that they're taking these people's consciousness and putting them in robots, and that's what they're trying to get out with Abernathy, I believe.
I 100% agree. I think this is heading towards, because let's think, like anybody that was probably invited to that party at the end, I'm not saying, I don't know if maybe they knew it was going to happen, but they were definitely rich people. So if you take their DNA, you make a host, and then say you own a company, and this person in the real world is now a host, you could say, I want you to buy $100 million of my stock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're rich and now you control them. They're a host. So I think that's where this is headed, where they're cloning, they're taking the human DNA, putting it into a host, putting it in the real world. So everybody thinks they're human, but they're not, and they're being controlled by Delos. And I think that's where it's ultimately heading. And I think that's why it's so important to Charlotte to get that information out, because that's where they want to go with it. That's what I think.
So let me ask you guys, if you were in this world and you had the opportunity to live forever inside a host, if it was your choice going that route, whether they, like, cause we're not sure if the guests know it or not, but if it's your choice, would you guys want to live forever in a host?
Depends how.
Yeah.
I guess, like, is it just, like, is it me? Like, is it actually, or is it just a robot version of me that, like, Ford built of Arnold where it's just mimicking his mannerisms and it looks like him? Or is it, like, me?
But if Bernard, if he never figured it out, if they never told him, he would be living happily not knowing he's a robot. He still has the memories and stuff. It's once you become sentient where it kind of, like, screws you over, I guess, where you realize you're being used.
Right. He didn't know he was a host and he didn't know that he was Arnold. I guess if that's what I'm in for, no. I'd rather just die.
Yeah.
And also being fit with a fake story of a son who died.
Mm-hmm.
And just, no, I'd rather just die.
Or you don't want to be like Teddy who gets shot and killed every day and you just don't realize it. Like each day you wake up is going to be the day you get killed. You just don't know.
Yeah. Did you see that there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, but I saw it was going around on Twitter. They like blew up when he was looking at himself on the iPad or that whatever tablet thing that was. And mm-hmm. his death count was like over 5,000.
Oh my God. Now, do I get to pick what host? Yeah, like Keaton said, like, does it look like me? Do I get to pick like a host? Like, do I have to pick like a new body?
If you were one of these rich people, if what they were doing was selling this option to rich people, I think they would give you the choice whether they hold true with it or not. I guess you have to trust them. But it seems like if you're rich enough to pay for this, you can kind of choose what's going to happen with you. But at the same time, you never know if some like D-bag writer is going to come in and just change your storyline when you get sick of it.
Did you guys watch Altered Carbon on Netflix?
No, should I?
Yeah, it's kind of, this is what it is, like in the future, you're you, but you get transferred to different bodies. So like the main character, like he was a Asian man, then he wakes up and he's like a real tall built white guy. It's him, but he's in a completely different body, completely different look. And so he's him, but everybody recognizes him as this other guy. So like people are attacking him because, you know, they had problems with him. It goes into all this, like, is it worth living forever if you have to not be you? It's a really mm-hmm. good show. Really good show.
So did the guy get to choose who he goes into, or just he just woke up each day?
No, because he was like in jail and they needed him for, he was like the key to something. So they just like took him and put him into another body, like without him even knowing.
Kind of like Demolition Man, but instead they're changing right. his, huh.
Rich people, they get to choose, but if you're not rich, you could just be put into any body, like without kind of your say-so. It's really interesting.
All right, anything you guys want to talk about before we just dive into theories here?
I'm ready for the theories.
All right, so I'm going to start off with one that I don't think is true, and it doesn't even matter if it is or not, but I'm totally pulling for this. This is one I heard where the writer of Westworld is Michael Crichton, who also wrote the book Jurassic Park, which obviously we all know now is a franchise. So what if in these worlds, it's the same world that Jurassic Park exists? What if we know that there's six parks? What if one of them actually is Jurassic Park and somehow they get tied together at some point? I don't know why they would bother, but I think it would be really awesome at one point just to like tie Jurassic Park into this somehow. If people are hunting Bengal tigers, wouldn't people want to go and hunt dinosaurs?
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet.
That makes a lot of sense. I didn't even think of that, but that would be awesome. I'm all for that.
So does this dude just love theme parks?
That's what I'm wondering. Westworld came first, so when he wrote the books. So I wonder if it was almost his test drive to before he went to Jurassic Park. Because I read Jurassic Park when I was a kid, and I never even heard of Westworld until, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So out of all the parks we know, we've only seen a couple of the other ones, and then there's Jurassic Park. Is there any specific park you guys would want to go to, or if you could come up and pitch a park to them, what would you pitch to them?
Space World, maybe?
I was just about to say the same thing.
So, like, you would be on another planet, or you'd just be, like, floating in a spaceship?
Yeah.
Like, I'd be on another planet, there'd be, like, aliens, and that's what...
Get, like, totally sci-fi with it. But it's interesting that every single one of the worlds that we've seen so far, well, at least we can presume, are set in the past, which is interesting. And I wonder what the other, I guess we've seen three of them, what the other three could be. I hope one of them is, like, 90s world.
Like, grunge Seattle world.
Cool World. You guys ever see Cool World?
No, is that a movie?
Yeah, with Brad Pitt way back, and he's, like, in a... I don't know, it was like cartoon or something like that. Maybe something like that. That'd be different. It was kind of like Roger Rabbit, but like Edge. It was like I think it was rated R, actually. It was different.
There was a sequel to the original Westworld movie called Future World, where I think they did what we were talking about, where they sent politicians into the real world, like they cloned them and whatever. So that could also be one of the parks, like a future world, or maybe we're leading up something like that. They've referenced the original movie a couple times, just with, like, Easter eggs, but it doesn't seem like they're doing a lot of the same plots, so I don't expect them to, but it would be cool if they did, like, a future-type thing. Even though we don't really know what year we're in right now, people project it was, like, 2050, it seemed like, on one of the tablets around that time, but...
Yeah, it was, like, on the security feed, it said, like, 2052, somebody, like, you know, zoomed in, and it said 2052. I don't know if that's accurate, I don't know if they ever confirmed that, but that's what... you know, people on Reddit and stuff like that, they think it's 2052.
So then I guess we could presume that the original first timeline with William and his first experience with the park was like around now-ish, like between now and 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, yeah, that probably happened now-ish. And then also before, so now that we've seen like a little more of the back timelines, we see them have Dolores in the real world and they're arguing that she's not ready yet. So at that time, Arnold was still alive. And then when William goes back with Logan, then by that time, Arnold is dead. And then he was back again with his father-in-law. So that's definitely like, he probably died around this time. And then like 3 or 4 years from now, they visit the park, Logan and William. That's what I think, at least, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my question that I'm, so we still are trying to piece together the timeline of when everything happened. So we know that before the park opened, Arnold did his assisted post-suicide. So when were they trying to get Logan to invest? Was it before the park opened and they were looking for investors to originally like get the capital to open it? Or was after it was open and they were looking to just draw more attention to it?
So I think Logan, the first time he went and he did the, where they're like all hosts around him, he said, we're not there yet. He never heard or even thought of any technology like this. So I assume the park's not open yet or else people would know about it.
Yeah. I think the assist like happened maybe like a month or two before like the park. It seemed like the park was like ready to go. Like there was investors, it was ready to go and he wanted to stop it. So I would say that with the group full of them came before the assisted suicide with Dolores. I would say it came before.
Yeah, I think I agree. All right, so I'm going to run a theory by you guys. And this is one I'm not sure about, so I'm going to ask you guys what you think. Beginning of this latest episode, episode 3, we see a new character in the Raj. She meets up with a human. We can tell that because she shoots him and he survives. And then they're going on a little journey the next day. During that journey, it seems to be when the robots switch to start being able to hurt humans. And then she gets chased by a Bengal. She shoots it, falls off the cliff into the water, and then her and the Bengal wash up on shore. There's been a lot of speculation about who this person might be. She seems to have inside access to information. She has the symbol of Delos in her notebook. What I think, and what I think a lot of people think, is that she is William's daughter, the Man in Black's daughter. She could also be Logan's daughter, but I feel like she is there to maybe confront her dad or bring down the company or something like that. Do you guys have any idea who you think she might be?
William's daughter.
You think so?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I think she's some sort, like, obviously, if she's William's daughter, she's going to be high up in the company. So I think maybe she was doing, just seeing how things were going, like a quality test or something like that. And it, because I don't think she was just like a regular guest, because she kind of knew how to handle herself, what to do, where to go. So I think, like, she's some kind of high executive in the company there to, like, kind of check on things and see how everything's working. And then she just, you know, shit hit the fan while she was there.
Well, she's definitely clearly aware that she shouldn't, like, sleep with a guest, for instance, because they'll do stuff with her DNA. She's very adamant that she's not involved with a host. And at the same time, the man that she meets says something about, like, they wouldn't go to the trouble to making one of them seem like one of us, would you? And it's just like ominously camera on her for a little bit. And she goes, I wouldn't put anything past them. I'm not sure she necessarily works there, because the Man in Black first season was saying how the daughter basically hated him because of his wife committing suicide. She blamed him. But I do feel like she might be there. She might be at one of the other parks as a guest, and she wants to try to figure out maybe how her dad could have fallen in love with a robot, or, you know, what they're doing to do something. And I kind of, to add on to that theory, I wouldn't be surprised if somehow she is in trouble and the Man in Black has to try to be a hero to save her or something like that, just to add more weight into if he's a good guy or a bad guy. Do you guys have any more theories about this character?
Yes. So the reason why I'm convinced that it's William's daughter is because in a previous episode we were introduced to William's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a connection between her and Dolores while Dolores was playing the piano, and the whole, like, you're pretty and beautiful moment. And it seemed like at the time kind of out of place a little bit, other than just drawing attention to the fact that Dolores was there at the retirement party, and so was William. But it, like, the camera was lingering on her, like, just remember this is William's daughter. And then all of a sudden we have this other character now that we're introduced to later in the park. I don't think that's a coincidence that we had this specific moment in a previous episode with William's daughter, and now we have another woman appearing in the park. I'm convinced that that is her.
And as you were just talking about, when we were trying to figure out the time frame, it times out, seems like pretty good that that was roughly 30 years ago, and here she is now probably like mid-30s when she was probably 5 or 6 back then. So I think that would time up pretty well year-wise. Yeah. So on a scale of knowing nothing, being unsentient as young William, to knowing it all, being Ford, where on the scale would you guys rate this theory?
I'm pretty convinced that it's William's daughter, so I'm going to say very high.
Yeah, I'd go full Ford.
Full Ford?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, full Ford.
Okay, so here's another theory. So we see Ghost Nation a lot more this season, but we've never actually seen them really hurt anybody. They knocked out Stubbs once, but now Stubbs is out alive and helping out again. So there's one theory out there that Ghost Nation is a security protocol, almost like white blood cells in a body, where it's just out there trying to protect the humans. One time during season one, Ford told Stubbs that they can up the security in some hosts. After there was a problem, they said, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. Well, it's up to security in some of the hosts. So it's possible that, A, that Ghost Nation is protecting the humans. This episode we saw him trying to take Sizemore. And also another theory out there that's tied to this is that Elsie is possibly controlling Ghost Nation, kind of like how we saw Arnold or Bernard this season kind of up the chivalrousness of one of the evil hosts to make him protect the humans. That is possible she did something like that to try to protect the humans. Thoughts on this theory?
I think the Elsie part is wrong. Didn't Bernard kill her?
Well, Bernard definitely choked her out. That's as far as we know. And she is definitely on this season, but it could be with flashbacks and stuff. So that means nothing to me that, you know, she's definitely on the cast list because it could be a flashback. But we never saw anything happen besides her getting choked out. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting, I guess, because in the moment where they reveal that she was choked out, it was Bernard talking to Ford, asking, have you ever made me do this to anyone before, in reference to killing Teresa? And he was like, no, of course not. And then he was like, wait a minute, I'm having a memory now. And it's him choking out Elsie. So that doesn't seem like a coincidence, but maybe that is misdirection. So I'm very skeptical of that piece, but the using Ghost Nation as security piece, that is interesting. And Zeke, so he was actually texting me, this is one of the ones that he was texting me about last night, kind of something similar. He thought that they were basically like border patrol and keeping guests from wandering into different parks. And that was obviously incorrect, because we watched that whole group with Sizemore just wander into Shogun World basically untouched. So I feel like if they were really there for that, they'd have been much more aggressive and kept them out.
They did want Lee bad, and he is the only non-host that we know of in that group.
And we're also not sure that the Klondike narrative is necessarily not something in the outskirts of Westworld.
Right, because they kept saying, we want him, like, we want him. Almost like... like you said, like they're like the, you ever play a video game and you go off the board and it's like you have 10 seconds to go back? Like it starts flashing red. It's almost like that with them. Like they're just there to kind of make sure that the guests don't wander too far.
That they were terrible at their job.
Well, like I said, I agree. And I don't know why they didn't go harder after him, but I just found it funny that they just kept saying, we want him, we want him. And then Stubbs, I mean, he's... I mean, they grabbed him, and now he's just back fine. So I don't know if they grab you, they tie you up and bring you back to, like, where you're supposed to be. I guess we'll find out, because they did find, what's her, well, we think William's daughter, you know. So we'll, maybe we'll find out more what they, you know, what they do. But that's kind of how I'm looking at him now, in that, you know, and kind of in that context.
So on the same sentient scale, where do you guys rate this theory? Seems like you guys probably have different opinions on this one.
I'm 50-50 on it.
I would say I'm questioning the nature of my reality with this one.
So you're kind of like season one Dolores.
Yeah. Basically, I don't believe it.
The next theory... so I have one more theory. I guess the rest of them can kind of be grouped together. And we talked about it a little bit already. The Delos logo that we see the mystery woman scribble in her notebook, and we see... on the tablet a couple times, and now we see a couple times throughout this new season. It's basically like a DNA strand and an infinity symbol. So this is what we're talking about, where maybe rich people could live forever or transfer into a host. And then also a theory, I guess this other one is separate, but that host might be able to get switched to another host body, but still have the, we saw the little brain bulb, you know, get taken out, that they could just switch it into, like, people are now to think. There's one theory that I don't really buy, that it's Teddy's consciousness inside of Bernard's body right now. It's more about, like, the switching of consciousness of robots, and then whether, I guess we already touched on, if the people might be able to live forever. So do you think it's possible for them to switch host consciousness into other host bodies?
100%. I 100% buy this theory.
Once they unleashed that in the storytelling, like, anything's possible. So, like, it'd be cool if it happens, but I also feel like if this is true, that might be like the show, like, jumping the shark, in my opinion, because anybody could be anybody. It's just gonna be like a mess of storylines and who's who.
I would not be shocked if Bernard and Dolores are switched.
Well, there's also a theory, I guess I didn't write this one down, but that a lot of people think that right now Bernard, it might be going through a loop where there's trying to, the people are running him through and through the attack over and over again to get information out of him, because they've realized he's a host. And there's a couple times where Charlotte, where you can kind of see she's realizing that, and then different things in continuity just aren't adding up, whether it could just be sloppy TV making, but so far they haven't been very sloppy. They're trying to figure out what happened during basically the original attack. You know, they find Bernard on the beach, and instead of them, like, giving him medical attention, they're just, like, walking around with him being like, oh, what happened here? What happened here? And we're seeing, like, robots get killed and how he's reacting and stuff like that. What do you guys think about this thing where they know that Bernard's a host and they're kind of just bringing him through the same cycle over and over again to try to get information?
I think it has to be one of the two. Either he switched with Teddy, which I don't think he switched with Dolores. If he switched with someone, he switched with Teddy. Or they know that he's a host and he's like, his memory is malfunctioned or damaged, like in the that first episode where they just cracked that one guy open just to review like his last visions. And so they are trying to figure out what was going on from Bernard because he was there. And mm-hmm. they just wanted to see whatever it was that caused the, you know, this mass craziness. But so I think it's either one of the two, that he's damaged and they're trying to basically repair him by walking him back through the steps of what happened, or that he switched with Teddy. And I think it's more likely that he switched with Teddy than he's damaged and he's walking through. So the piece that you mentioned with her, Charlotte was talking to Bernard in such a weird way at the beginning of this past episode that I was kind of buying the, they know he's a host and he's just, they're trying to walk him through and remember things. But what changed my mind was at the battle of that fort when they were trying to get Abernathy, it was just Bernard and Abernathy, and then he got away. And so looking back on it on like a rewatch, it was more of like a, you idiot, you were right there with him. What the hell happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's like two great, if in that theory, there's two great moments that are really like condescending / bitchy Charlotte, which I loved. Those, first of all, when they got back, when they brought him back, she's like, oh, you made it. I didn't know you had that in you. And then when we go back and see what happened, they're basically confronted with some robots and she just peaced out on him and left him there alone and got on a horse.
Yeah.
Like, she got out there quick.
Yeah. She's like, later, dude. So either she knew he was a robot or like, cold, man.
Oh, by the way, so this just popped back into my head. I meant to bring this up when we were going over the first theory with the potential Williams daughter. So you pointed out that she shot that rando and mm-hmm. nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And then it was like the next day was like the rebellion. First off, what ridiculous chance if she had just tried to shoot him the next morning. We're assuming then he would have died because mm-hmm. all of a sudden the weapons worked. Is that how this whole thing goes with the weapons? Like all of a sudden, like what's the switch to all of a sudden make these pierce human flesh?
It's the gun. It's definitely the gun. It's something in the gun that I don't know if it gets triggered or if it's like a sensitivity thing, but it's 100%, I think, the gun. So I don't know if it's security code within the gun, but whatever it is, it's the gun mechanics that either you just get like a paintball shot or you get actually shot. It's within the gun.
To me, it's unclear, and I try not to think about it because it's like one of those things where it's going to bother me or I just can't think about it because it just doesn't seem like it's like an exact science unless they go to explain it. It just kind of seems like it's hard to fathom that, like, you know, the gun can tell the difference. Or I think someone mentioned something about, like, the bullets can tell the difference, which would be ridiculous. That costs so much money to make these crazy bullets. Like, the best explanation would be what Zeke said, the gun. But the science doesn't look like anything to me. Like, it's just, like, makes no sense, so I try not to stress about it. That's probably a shitty answer.
Right,
but
because that exactly when we saw that moment, I was like, wait a minute, shouldn't that guy have just died right now? And then it was, like, the next day that they had the whole rebellion, and then the people started dying, and it was just, I already started thinking about it, and now I'm in that point where I'm like, God damn it.
Well, with that, the hosts were, like, helping them all the way through the journey, and then all of a sudden, they weren't. So I feel like that next day was when the robots started turning. So it just kind of coincidentally happened to be when they were out and about. But, like, what you're asking is stuff that, like, was bothering me, too, and I was trying not to stress about it because that's not one of the things that I'm going to get really hung up on out of all the million questions, I guess.
Right, yeah, there's definitely more content to it.
You guys have any theories that I didn't touch on?
I do, and I wanted to get to this one because I know Zeke hates it. My theory is that this whole host rebellion is Ford's last narrative. So the last episode of season one was the party to celebrate Ford's basically last narrative before they forced him into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't super thrilled with that. And then Dolores goes Wyatt on him, shoots him, triggers rebellion, chaos. I don't think it was that stupid romance thing that was his narrative. I think the host rebellion was his narrative, and everybody is still on loops, including Dolores, including, well, maybe not so much Maeve to a point, because we've actually seen them alter all of her junk, but at least like her traits, but the whole like point of what they're doing and like the task and the routes, everybody is still on a loop. and everybody, like, there is no such thing as consciousness for them. They're still all controlled by the narrative. And that's going to be, like, the big reveal after all of this, is that this was, all of this whole host rebellion thing was Ford's last narrative.
So I'm probably halfway between you two, because I do think that this was his narrative, but part of his narrative could be that, like, during this narrative, they gained the consciousness as well as he could project. But I do feel like Dolores is on a loop. I don't know about Maeve, just because he couldn't really have predicted what all of the would have happened with, like, the text messing with her and stuff. So that one is a lot harder for me to put a grasp on how much she's on a loop, because we saw at the end of season one, it said escape on the train, and then she got off the train. So I'm not really sure about her, but I do think Dolores is on somewhat of a loop. But I think this was part of his narrative, to the extent that the narrative would force them to almost gain consciousness and act out. But I don't know. I'm caught between where you two stand, I think.
So, okay. So either Dolores or Maeve, one of them is still on a narrative, because they pretty much mirror each other. You got Dolores and Teddy, and then you got Maeve and Hector. So I think it's just they match too close to one of them not to be on a loop. I do not think it's Dolores, because in my opinion, like, the main part of season one, like, the pretty much the main story was her being self-aware of what she was, and you know, kind of like hearing her own voice, making her own decisions in her head. And I think that matters in this world. I think if she just ends up just being a host, I mean, literally season one, in my opinion, is pointless. And I think it's just too easy. Like, it's just the easy thing to say. I think they want you to think that Dolores is a host. Like, how she's talking, kind of how she's acting. It does seem like kind of like stagey. Like, she's kind of like performing. So I see why everybody think, because most people think that Dolores is still in a loop, but I just think that it's just too easy. I just think she's acts that way because, like, just because she's self-aware doesn't mean, like, she lost. And I think that's why the scene with her dad was so important this past episode, because just because she's self-aware doesn't mean, like, she lost what was kind of programmed into her. Like, she still sees that stuff. She still feels it. It's just she is now, like, a different path.
I think there's an obvious test that they can do to find out if a robot is sentient or not, and you guys tell me what you think about this theory that they haven't even discussed yet. So all you have to do is really start dating one and then ask it where it wants to go for dinner, and if it answers the question, it's a robot, and if it goes back and forth with you for hours, then you know that it's still human that can't make a decision. Thoughts? I solved Westworld.
Yeah.
You did it.
Anything else you guys want to discuss? Any theories?
And didn't Bernard tell Maeve in the finale last season that she's still on a narrative, and she kind of like slapped the tablet away? But he's like I see, like, this is your narrative to, like, escape. Now, yeah. I know she makes a decision to leave the train, but I mean, that could also be programmed into her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he like flipped the tablet around to her, and as she was talking, it was like, here is all the things you're gonna say right now.
Right.
But I just wanted to read a little bit of the text exchange from Zeke and I last night, because we went back and forth on this a little bit. Zeke was very upset, and he was like, if this is true, then the entire show is completely meaningless. And it's like, I guess they could do it for shock value, but what the fuck is the meaning of the show if that's true? And my response was just that life is pointless and we're all lemmings, and no matter how hard we try, it's all just a long, slow march to death.
I mean, I could see both, because the writers of the show like to troll also. They're into the internet sleuths and kind of messing with them. So I could see both sides of it, whether, you know, they have this really deep thing, or if it's all, I mean, it's also deep to be like, it's all pointless. But at the very end, what if it's just like a huge troll job and it was just like, nope, nothing matters. The end.
Yeah, and that's what I think the showrunners could pull that off in a really good way, because I think, obviously, I mean, myself included, if that is the case, just at the end of the season, if they're like, psych, nah, just kidding, like, you guys are all still on loops, like, that would be pretty annoying. But the showrunners are really good with presenting the show in like a thought-provoking manner, in that it would be presented in a way that wouldn't piss us all off.
I mean, that's almost the loop that William the Man in Black is in, where like I think in a way he thinks his life is meaningless, and he's trying to, like, the whole first season, it was pretty predictable that, quote, the maze wasn't for him, and he just kept doing it, you know, being stubborn, and he's at the point where he's like trying to figure out if anything he's done in his life has mattered. Even when people from the real world at the park try to bring up like the charities he's done, he's like, I don't want to talk about that, I'm on vacation. Like, he's almost the same spot that you're talking about. So it does kind of tie together, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the scale, where are you guys with that theory?
I'm pretty low on the scale, I think. I'd probably be like Teddy level of sentience on that.
One of them's on a loop. I just can't fathom it being Dolores. Now, like I said, shock value, but it's just too easy. And I know for a fact that the writers were kind of mad at themselves that people kind of figured everything out like in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I know like they took that to heart. So I think like they're intentionally leading people down this path.
Mm-hmm.
I think like just because that just how she's acting and stuff like that, like she it's. I could definitely see like how people think that, because she's like, you could tell it kind of looks like she's like staging everything, like how she speaks and walks and stuff like that, where Maeve looks more natural. But I think mm-hmm. I just think that's just like a smokescreen.
I mean, with that, I did think season one was kind of predictable, but it didn't really matter to me, because the way they told the story, I really enjoyed a lot. In my opinion, even if it ends up being like something that, like what Keaton's saying, even if it's like a huge like kick in the balls or whatever, if they tell the story well, I'm still gonna enjoy the journey, you know?
I agree. Definitely.
So do you guys have anything you want to throw out there, like that you think you're predicting in the coming weeks or the season or anything?
Have you heard this one theory that Charlotte is the daughter of Maeve and Bernard?
I have, but so if two robots somehow reproduced, would she give birth to a human? Would she give birth to a robot? Like, what? I that's more confusing than the gun theory to me.
Yes.
Well, wasn't Maeve's daughter much, much younger? Six, 7, 8 years old younger?
But even, like, Lee is saying, he's like, why are you doing this? Like, you know that your daughter is a host, and you're still, like, going out of your way to get her. So maybe, like, because she's confusing, like, that daughter with her, like, a real daughter that she has. I don't know.
We see the same thing with Dolores, too, with her father when she saw him this week. Like, they're just having trouble. Like you're saying, they're both kind of on the same storyline, where they're both having trouble distinguishing, knowing what was programmed in their past and moving away from that. There's still, like, another step to become sentient where they... Part of the problem, like, that I have sympathizing with the robots is they see them getting killed equals killing the humans. Like, oh, now we're square, where the robots can be brought back and the humans can't. It's like with the hosts in their past, like, they need to understand that, like, they didn't really live that past, or that past doesn't matter. It was programmed to them, and they're both having trouble separating from that. So when it comes to, like, her having a human child or whatever, I just think her and her robot child, she's having problems differentiate what matters and what doesn't.
Yeah,
I did find the humor in that Dolores and Abernathy see each other and immediately start worrying about cows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. I thought that was a great scene.
Yeah,
if my theory is correct, then it'll mean something in the end, that even though she's self-aware and stuff like that, what was programmed into her is still going to be her, still going to shape who she is no matter what. And I think that means something.
She's going to get free out into the real world and then immediately move to Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like, she can't escape that, even though she's self-aware and stuff like that, she can't escape who she is.
So I think part of it's going to be like, I mean, it's been shitty lives as robots, but they're going to get to the real world and see what it's like. And it's like, ah, fuck this. Like, I need to go back to Westworld. Like, it's just going to be like a utopia. Not utopia. What do they call it? Like, when it's just like a terrible future world.
Dystopian?
Yes, that's the word I was thinking of. Dystopian.
Nailed it.
Is that the name of one of the Mets prospects?
Well, I mean, the Mets are in for a pretty dystopian future.
Yeah, that really ended badly quickly. Same old Mets. The one thing that I think I'm looking forward to the most is, and like I think about it constantly and I watch the show, is when William and Dolores were on like the mountain and he was overlooking like those machines and stuff ripping up the ground. He said, like, this is like the question that nobody has ever like dreamed of before, or something like that. And I'm dying to know what that, because what could that possibly be?
That's a pretty pretentious statement. Like, he's like, I'm the smartest person ever because I thought of what no one else has ever thought of.
Yeah, like, what could that possibly be?
Well, and then moments before, when he was talking to Lawrence, he referenced his biggest mistake, and that's where they were headed. And then it cut to that scene where they're cultivating whatever. So apparently it wasn't that smart, because if we're using context clues, now he refers to it as his biggest mistake.
Yeah, what do you guys think the biggest mistake is? I mean, it's the way they're setting it up makes it seem like, however, they're using this DNA information.
Westworld. It seemed like the beginning of Westworld, right? So I think he's referring to all of it.
I think if I was him, the biggest mistake in my mind would be like just falling for Dolores. Like, that really fucked up his whole life. It seems, even though he seems to be really rich and, you know, well off in the outside world, he hasn't got over that first interaction with her.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, that's pretty much all the time we have. We are going to try to do this, how often do you guys think, like weekly? We're going to do like some sort of non-sports podcast? Well, we'll discuss
that's
it.
That's good with me.
And we don't have a name yet. Yeah. So at the moment, you can email us at sportstheemail. That's the, because we're all writers for Sports the website. So you can contact us there. You can tweet us at sportsthetweet. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we look forward to more of Westworld. Thanks for coming on, guys. And we will all talk again soon.
See you guys.